part three of our interview with the legendary George Lois. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
You know, when I talked about it, I lost two big accounts because, two really big accounts. One when Jack Kennedy was assassinated, and I called up the client saying we're going to pull TV commercials because we didn't know that later on in the day the network stopped them. But
right.
So I got everybody calling everybody, all our clients, and the account guy called me up, came to me and said, National Airlines, the guys down in Florida, you know, I did a campaign. Is this any way to run an airline? You bet it is. A great success, you know. And he said, no, they don't want to pull. They won't pull a commercial. So I got on the phone. I said, well, I said, hey Dan, hey Dan, you don't understand. The president's been shot. He said, shit, I know that. We're having a party down here.
Wow.
And I said, well, we're pulling the commercials and you can go fuck yourself. That was the end of that account. Right?
Is that the name of your next book? Go fuck yourself.
That's it was a $4 million. It was a $4 million account back then.
Jeez.
And then I was... trying to get Reuben Hillary out of jail in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing a thing, and I'm raising hell. I got Muhammad Ali and Bob Dylan. And I'm raising all kinds of shit. And
that was down the track.
And we get him, out, waiting for a new trial, whatever was going on. And a client calls me in and said, a new guy came in for Cutty Sark, a new president.
Mm-hmm.
A guy before that was great. And he calls me in, and it's all over the press. It's all newspapers about what I was doing. And he calls me in. I walk in the door, and he says, Lois, stop working for the N-word, or you're fired. And I said, well, I'm going to keep working for him, because he said, I just, yes or no, stop working for it or you're fired. I said, I guess I'm fired, so go fuck yourself. I go back to the agency, and it was a $6 million account. I mean, things were big accounts back then. That was a ton of money. I go back to the agency, and I get everybody in the agency, 30, 40 people, 50, whatever, and I get them all together. I told him what happened, and told him that was that. And nobody's getting fired. I'm just letting you know, we'll get back
we'll
to
get
business.
Past.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, 60 people got up with a 15-minute standing ovation. So proud. That
I was proud of you when so I read proud this first
that
one.
That you, don't, that you didn't
boot camp.
That you didn't bow down. That you didn't. Bow down to racism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I teach in the book. I also teach Lee Strong the morality of what we do, you know, and talking truth to power, and talking truth to power, you know, talking truth to the sons of bitches, to the Republican sons of bitches, and their conservatives. And,
yeah, that's a whole other show
we'll
follow up on. That's, I think they're number three and four. No, they're number four on your list. Of
I know.
The not so smart, but industrious.
Yeah, right.
You talk about trends a little bit, and I don't remember what number it is. But trends. And, you know, trends, it's a big controversy
well,
in advertising.
Trends, no,
some agencies are looking for the trends and want to jump in. The agencies I like are more culture jamming and, you know, don't follow the trends. They lead the trends.
My headline is trends are traps, you know.
Right.
And I think I wrote in it every year from 1960, when I had my own agency, from 1960 to the year 2000, Time and Newsweek and magazines like that and Forbes, and they would call you up and they would say, what are the trends going to be next year? And I would always say, I don't know, I'll let you know when I do it.
I like that. That's a great answer.
I mean, the last thing you do, if there's a trend, if they're going that way, you go that way. You know, no, not that way, that way.
Right, 180 degrees.
Yeah, 180. I mean, what are you talking about, trends, you know?
You said never listen to music while doing good work. And I never thought about it once you explained it.
I don't even listen to music in my apartment.
Yeah? Yeah. Might get in the way of an
no,
idea.
When I walk, my wife loves to listen to jazz during the day. Mm-hmm. When I walk out the door, she turns it on. No, I mean, I don't like it. All day long, I'm shit's
right,
happening.
Right.
You know, I mean,
you'll make time.
I could be watching a ball game, you know, and yeah, and somehow I could handle it with the ball game, but I can't with music, because you know, you're not unless it's down to a critical part.
Sure, sure.
Of a ball
give
game,
give it your attention, though.
And it's the last inning, and a 2 minute. You know, no, I mean, I think you need. I need if you love music. And you're listening to music you love, that's the wrong thing to be doing right. When you try to get an idea. Because you're really involved with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
right.
Or unless you're not a music lover. So, I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's amazing how many people, kids, when I was lecturing, were saying, really? We listen to it all the time. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
They got the things on, and they're on a computer, they don't have an idea yet. They're on a computer. They have to solve some problem. They have to get a couple of ideas for something or other. They're on a computer and they're listening to music and they don't have an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wacky, you know.
And it's disrespectful to the music. If you really like the music, don't do anything else and listen to the music.
It's disrespectful to the music.
Now, I noticed your graphic was a Bruce Springsteen CD on that page.
Yeah, right.
Are you a fan?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Did you see Bruce's keynote in South by Southwest? You would enjoy it. He talks about, he's speaking to all, it's South by Southwest, it's all the aspiring musicians.
Yeah.
One of the, the successful. Yeah. He's talking about the idea of holding two contradictory things in your head. He goes down this list. He says, don't take yourself too seriously.
Don't worry. Worry your ass off. Have ironclad confidence, but doubt. It keeps you awake and alert. Believe you are the baddest ass in town. And you suck.
Take yourself more seriously than death. You know, and he goes on with these.
No, that's he's a good man.
The idea of,
no, he's a good
you know,
man.
Creatively, the idea
Springsteen's
of
a good man.
Paradox is.
He's done important songs.
Yeah.
He's for the working man.
He
you
is,
know,
he
I
is.
Mean,
he was talking
and,
about
and
what
it's,
he got through.
And it's no bullshit about it. You know, I mean, it's not Santorum, it's for the working man.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God,
like
no,
like I'm
real,
a girl. You know. No, I mean, he's a. He's the real deal, Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of
he talked about that.
There are a lot of those acts, you know, Robert Redford, real deal. You know, Paul Newman was.
Yeah, sure.
Clooney.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That Ruffalo kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some good. There's some good
there
people
are,
out there.
There are.
I mean, usually you think of these actors as being
airheads and
kind of.
But you know what?
These guys are great.
They're active now. It's not a secret if they have a position on something or, you know,
sure,
George Clooney's
sure.
out there. You know, he's not no secret about where his position
you
is.
You look
on.
Back at the great movie stars like Robert Taylor and Gary Cooper and John Wayne. They're all right-wing sons of bitches.
Yeah.
They were all right-wing.
It's a different day. Yeah.
They were bad guys, you know.
What do you think about that idea of, you know, he says, if you can't manage to have two contradictory ideas in your head, you're dead. You got to be able to figure that out.
You got to be able to live with it and move on.
And creatively, I think that's important. You know, you get contradiction all the time.
Yeah. Otherwise, well, that's analysis paralysis.
Right.
I mean, that's when you start saying, okay, there's this, but there also could be this, and they say, what, I said, you're dead.
Right.
No, you're dead in the water.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I put that down next to group grope. You know, like the worst thing in the world is when people, and then I make another point when I talk about, I show Amish putting up a barn. You know, I said, hey, teamwork works with putting up an Amish barn, but it doesn't work with creativity. You know, I mean, yeah, great thinking, great ideas come from one person, two people together, maybe three. But when you get to four, forget about it.
Yeah.
And
that's
what
a bold statement. A lot of people think. You know,
oh, six
people
are you kidding?
Well,
American
Lewis
American
made a bold statement. Who thought?
American business decided long time ago.
Brainstorming. Let's brainstorming. All get in the room
and they have rules too about. I heard one of them. Where there's rules where nobody can criticize what somebody says. You got to respect what he says
and
let it exist and keep going with the ideas without somebody saying, that's a dumb motherfucking idea, you know? No, it's crazy. I mean,
and it's always, you're not against a couple people.
Sure. But also with the group rope, there's a, you know, if you have five or six, there's always a schmuck, you know? But what's worse is if you had five or six people and they're all very smart.
Ah, yes.
All of a sudden, you got five, six brains who got with ideas. You're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you had that at.
I talk about that all the time. Group, and the other part of that, the House of Thousands. Once you get the idea, once you think of it, your instincts are right. You figured it all out, but right there, go squeeze the trigger.
Yeah. I on that same note, do you think there's a lot of, you know, so-called great work out there that forgets to sell? You talk about that. Don't forget to sell.
Most,
you know,
most shows. Most.
Right? They look. That's a great TV spot. It's going to win an award. Didn't sell any.
Kevin, I haven't heard it in the last year or two, but I used to hear it a lot. Kids would actually say. Sometimes I teach a class at School of Visual Arts. I do a favor for Steve Hell or something. I go into his class and
it's, sure.
Somebody said, well, you don't understand. So,
you don't understand.
Yeah. You got to hear the rest. You don't understand. You know, in these days, these days,
like you ain't been working.
You can't let anybody know that you're selling them. Excuse me? You shouldn't be selling. It shouldn't be obvious that you're selling. I said, are you shitting me? I mean,
shouldn't talk down to your consumer.
I got commercials.
They don't know,
you know,
that.
Like my original, I want my maple commercial. I had these great ball plays. Mickey Mantle.
I want my maple.
Six times. In that commercial, I asked for the sale. I want my motherfucking Maple. And you're telling me, and you know what? The more you watch, the more people would see the commercial, and every time it came on, they'd run into the room to see it again. to watch what was the guy saying it, with the voiceover says, Maple, the oatmeal cereal that heroes cry for. Six times, you're telling me that. Young people, I think they still are kind of are embarrassed because they're selling. Jesus Christ, everything I do has got to sell.
Go get a gallery and get out of advertising.
You think I can get away with any job I ever did in my life if it didn't work?
Right.
Are you kidding? I mean, that's
and it's saying you talk down to your consumer, meaning they don't know they're being sold. You really think they don't?
Of course
know
not.
They're watching TV. It's not the ball game. It's the commercial.
And one of the most important things in the book is what I say. It's so obvious, but if you think people are dumb, and most ad agencies heads and most ad agency most people think people are dumb.
Right. Everybody but me.
Then you got to do dumb work.
Right.
You can't do bright shot. You know, many times, my whole story about George, be careful, you know, it's my anti-slogan,
right.
You know, I
mean,
when I was a kid, when a baby, I was in my crib, and the hand of God came in, you know, Michelangelo's hand of God, and said, George, be careful, and my whole family told me to be careful, my mother, my father, coaches, and in the army, I come out of advertising, I get home from Korea, I go into CBS, and that's when everybody tells you to be careful.
Right.
Everybody tells you to be careful. And I'm saying that's the last thing it can be, you know. You got to be bold. You got to be, you know, almost reckless, you know.
That's it for part three with the legendary George Lois. Tune in next week for part four.
The problem with tweeting is people spend their lives tweeting.
Yeah, go outside and do
They don't
something.
Tweet like 5, 20 minutes a day. They tweet all motherfucking day. Yeah, I mean, and
talking, Facebook, and
you know, and with quick little thoughts that come out of their ass, you know. I mean, it's not thoughtful, you know. It's not that you can't. I mean, if it's thoughtful, send an email or make a phone call.
Next week on the Buzz Bubble.